Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here at Next Level Church. I'm excited that you are with us this morning, and I'm excited to share with you from the scriptures today. If you can think back just a few years, gosh, I think it's been 8 years now, there was a song by an artist whom at that time I had never heard of, a guy by the name of Pharrell Williams, released a song in conjunction with a movie, Despicable Me, called Happy. And it's a song that really does just make you happy, doesn't it? Right now, you're probably hearing that song in your head, and it's catchy, and it makes you want to move, and it brings a smile to your face. At least it does mine. It makes me happy. It makes me want to dance. And I think there's a reason that this song spent so much time at number one on the pop music charts, both here in the U.S. and 23 other countries since it was released in November 2014. And why not? It's unbelievably catchy. It's the kind of song that makes you want to clap and sing along. I like songs that make me feel happy. And music has the ability to temporarily alter my emotions. I can be having a rough day or be really stressed out, but when I hear a song like Happy, it helps me block out that stress for about 3.5 minutes. And if I'm lucky, that catchy tune will get stuck in my head and be there until I get sick of it. Just recently, I was sitting in a meeting that was less than exciting. And I could have been bummed about it, but instead, I've got Happy stuck in my head from preparing for this message. And so even though I didn't necessarily want to be where I was still dancing in my seat and drumming on the table. We enjoy that temporary fix of happiness, don't we? Whether it's from a song like the one I'm describing, or watching something funny on TV or YouTube or TikTok, or even escaping into a video game, we benefit from a momentary fix of happiness. Happiness, by definition, is momentary. Check this out. Happiness is a state of pleasure or joy experienced both by people and by God, but subject to change according to circumstances. Let me read that again. Happiness is a state of pleasure or joy experienced both by people and by God, but subject to change according to circumstances. Scientific research has been conducted based upon facial expressions to try to determine how many emotions human beings experience. For years, science has said that there are 6 basic emotions: happiness, sadness, fear, surprise, anger, and disgust. If you've ever seen the animated motion picture Inside Out, you've seen those characters well on display. I might be happy 1 minute, and based upon what another person says or does, my happiness shifts into some other emotion, like sadness. This happens to all of us, doesn't it? Our emotions change frequently based on the circumstances that we face. If you've never experienced this, I want to invite you to come share a meal with my 5-year-old daughter and me. Emotion on display that can change in the snap of fingers. For many of us, our ability or inability to harness those changing emotions contributes to the ways in which we get along with others, from friends to coworkers to spouses or significant others, even to other members of our families. And we're probably all aware of people around us, like those friends or family members, or maybe even ourselves, who look for happiness anywhere they can find it. It might even be us, and we might think, you know, if I could just earn more money, or if I could just spend more time with that person, or if I could just drive that car, or if I could just buy that house, or if I could just have more of, you fill in the blank. If, then I would be happy. In case we haven't met, my name is Joseph McMurray. I'm the teaching and connections pastor here at Next Level Church. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the difference in being happy and having joy. As Pastor Clay shared with us last week, happy is an emotion based on circumstances. Joy is something completely different. That is a result of a relationship with God through Jesus. If you haven't had a chance to listen or see that message, I want to encourage you to go back a week to the beginning of this series, Joyful, and watch Pastor Clay's message online at nextlevelchurch.org. If you are watching this morning and you still aren't sure about Jesus or about God, I want to talk to you specifically for a moment, and I just want to encourage you to relax. We're not going to pressure you to do anything. We're not going to try to make you uncomfortable. I'm just glad you're here, glad you're paying attention. But if there is something that you hear in these next few minutes that causes you to think or generates questions in your mind, I want you to know that you're in the right place to ask those questions. We would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to experience the freedom and peace that comes from knowing Him. At the end of this service, we would love to pray with you or talk with you or try to help you find answers to your questions. And if you're watching online, please feel free to ask those questions in the comments section or contact us through our website at nextlevelchurch.org. But if you don't remember anything else I say today, if you completely check out from this moment forward, I want you to remember this. Happiness is temporary, but joy is lasting. If you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open it to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 21. In this section of the book of Luke, Jesus is teaching his followers about the dangers of greed and the deceitfulness of riches, that while possessions and money may temporarily bring happiness, they fail to provide the joy that comes only from him and from knowing him and walking with him and following him. Listen as I read Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. We see Jesus teaching using a medium called a parable in this passage of Scripture. Parables were stories that Jesus used to illustrate his teaching points. They weren't necessarily actual occurrences, not an historical event, but instead the telling of a story to illustrate a point. It was an example of what Jesus was teaching his followers. And in this parable, the rich man had accumulated so much wealth that he needed to build bigger barns to store it all. Rather than meeting the needs of others, he was satisfied to seek happiness in all that he had accumulated. But what was true of his happiness? It was temporary. He may have had stuff. He may have accumulated a whole lot, but he was not rich toward God. In other words, he had not been made right with God, and his stuff couldn't buy lasting joy. I want you to look at this definition of joy. We read the definition of happiness earlier, but joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. I'm going to read that again. Joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. There's a big difference in happiness and joy. And I know I've already told you that happiness is temporary and joy is lasting. But joy is the fruit, the result of a right relationship with God. It's not something that you and I can create by our own efforts. So when we think of joy And the idea that joy is not an emotion that we experience like happiness, but instead joy is this state of delight, this well-being that results from being in relationship with God. Where does this joy come from as a part of knowing God and a part of serving God? What are the origins of joy? Well, we could probably think of a really long list, but this morning I want to share with you three origins of joy for the believer in Jesus. Anyone can be happy, but not everyone gets to experience the joy that comes from knowing and serving God. So where does this joy come from? Three origins of joy for the believer in Jesus. The first is security. Joy comes from an appreciation that the believer is accepted in Christ and loved. If you've heard any of my teaching before, you've heard me quote another pastor who says that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you have done that makes him love you less. There is security for us in knowing that as believers in Jesus, we are accepted by Christ and loved. We should be awestruck by the amazing love and grace that has been lavished upon us by the Father in sending the Son to die in our place. One of the authors of what we call the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writes in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" The Father loves you. The Father loves me. He was willing to sacrifice his only son in our place so that we could have relationship with him. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, in verse 38, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm going to pause right there and think about the circumstances in your life, the circumstances that are going on in the world now to which we have no explanation or understanding. Nothing, Paul says, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we have security in the knowledge of his love for us. And the result of that security is joy. The second origin of joy for the follower of Jesus comes from confidence. We have security, we have confidence. Happiness comes from our circumstances, but joy comes from the knowledge of our relationship with the Lord. We have confidence in who he is and what he is doing in us and through us. And even if we don't always understand the reason for the things that are happening around us or things that are happening in the world, we have confidence that the God we serve is still on the throne. Nothing catches him by surprise. Our joy is found in knowing the truth of his love for us. Paul describes this again in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." See, generally, God does not make us happy by removing our circumstances or removing us from those circumstances. Rather, he gives us joy in those circumstances, knowing that in some way he will use it for our good, knowing that in some way he will reassure us of his faithfulness, of his incredible love for us. As believers in Jesus, we have confidence in who he is and what he's doing in us and through us, even when we don't understand what's going on around us. And the third origin of joy that I want to share with you is joy comes from interaction. It comes from a habitual response to God, a life lived in communion with him. It's this idea that in all things and at all times, we are aware that we are in his presence and he is actively involved in our lives. Our interaction with God is not a checklist that says, I read my Bible today, or I prayed 5 minutes today, or I did the traditions or the rituals that tell me I'm a follower of Jesus. No. Interaction with God is a daily walk, a relationship with him. Understanding that everywhere we go and everything we do, in all situations and at all times, we are in the presence of God. He is with us. The Holy Spirit walks with us day by day, and we get to interact with him. Galatians chapter 5 is a rich passage full of instruction for us as believers. And I'm not going to read all of what I'm about to share with you, but verses 16 through 26, let me paraphrase this. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is, I think of fruit in the terms of apples and oranges, but fruit in this case is really the result of something healthy. The fruit of a plant is the result of a healthy plant. The fruit of a follower of Jesus is the result of a healthy relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul describes that the fruit of the Spirit is produced by our putting to death or crucifying our sinful nature and being led by the Spirit. Putting to death the old self and walking in a new way of life. Last week here at Next Level Church, we witnessed baptisms by water, by immersion. And we talked about the symbolism of the death to the old life and being buried as Christ was and then risen to walk in a new way of life. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by crucifying, putting to death the old life, the sinful nature, and being led by the Spirit. In other words, the link between a serious attitude towards sin and a life of joy go hand in hand. Since our sin is our fundamental problem, it's only by first recognizing that imperfection that we can appreciate the joy that we have in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of that relationship, they're not the result of some amazing self-improvement plan. No, rather, these characteristics are the overflow of a life of following Jesus and remaining in him, walking in and with the Holy Spirit. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember the result, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that idea. Keep in step with the Spirit. To walk with him through the dailies of our lives. That's interacting with God in all of our daily routines and finding joy in that interaction. That third origin of joy for the follower of Jesus is in our interaction with God. The story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, God said to the man who was happy with all of his stuff, he said, "You fool. This night your life will be required of you." What does that mean? Your life will be required of you? You're going to die. If you die today, what happens to all of your stuff? Everything that you have accumulated, everything in which you're finding your happiness. Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Was this foolish man foolish for wanting to be successful or wanting to accumulate wealth? Wanting to work hard? Of course not. The man was foolish not for wanting to earn, not for wanting to accumulate, not for wanting to have. It was foolish for believing that all of life was about accumulating more and merely focusing on himself. He was foolish because he believed that his enjoyment or his happiness with all that he accumulated would last. He was foolish for placing his trust in his stuff, for placing his faith in all that he could earn, all that he could accumulate, all that he could save. He had so much, rather than distributing it to others or being generous with what he had, he tore down his barns and built bigger barns to wrap his arms around more of his stuff. The same that was true of the man in the parable is true for us. No matter how much we accumulate, no matter how famous we become, or what kind of car we drive, all of those things that the world says will make us happy are temporary. Money could be gone tomorrow. Study the history of the stock market, October 29th, 1929. Your job, you could walk in tomorrow and find out that you've been let go. I served in a community in Virginia where one day workers at a mill were walking into work only to find that the doors had been chained and the mill was shut down, never to operate again. It was temporary. Your significant other will disappoint you. The people that you consider your friends may stab you in the back. Now, why would I cite these examples? Because happiness is temporary. It's an emotion based on our circumstances. But joy is lasting. Joy comes from God and having a relationship with Him through Jesus. Now, I will certainly experience the gamut of emotions. Happy, sad, afraid, surprised, angry, disgusted. But my emotions have no effect on my joy. Because my joy is not something that I can manufacture for myself or anything that another person can give me. Joy is a result of my relationship with God. It's a result of my security in Him, of my confidence in my relationship with Him, and my interaction with Him as I walk through this life. No matter what circumstance you face, as a child of God, you can walk in the security that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You can walk in the confidence that God is at work even in the midst of our storms. And you can find joy in the interaction with Him through which we find freedom in Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. So what are you searching for today? Are you searching for happiness? Are you searching for that temporary emotion that's based on your circumstances? Or are you searching for joy? Something that is lasting because it comes from God. You can make yourself happy by eating a bowl of ice cream. I don't know about you, but eating a bowl of ice cream puts a smile on my face. I can make myself happy. You know what makes me happy? I love to shoot clay pigeons with a shotgun. Boom. That makes me happy if I hit them. But it's temporary. Be careful in being satisfied with happy, because you might miss out on joy. And maybe what I'm saying makes perfect sense to you, and you already know that you have true joy that only comes from a relationship with God. So if that's the case, I want to ask you today, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the joy that you have because of your security and your confidence and your interaction with the Father? Are you hiding it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Are you going to hide it under a bushel? Are you hiding the joy that you have from the Lord? Or are you showing it off? Are you sharing it openly or selectively? A Scottish theologian named Robert Rainey, who lived in the 19th century, once said, "Joy is the flag which has flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there." Some of you who grew up in the Catholic Church may have sung that hymn. Joy is the flag which has flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Friends, if the king is in residence in my heart, if the king is in residence in your heart, then the flag that we fly should be the flag of joy, that those around us get to experience and see in us a true and lasting joy that is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's not an emotion that changes based on what someone else says or does. But it is a lasting truth in our lives that comes from a relationship with God. If you have joy, fly that flag. Let it show so that even when circumstances don't go the way you wish they would, the people around you still experience joy. They experience the joy of the Lord in your attitude and in your actions and the way you treat others. Remember, happiness is temporary. Joy is lasting. Be different than the man in the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, who had so much that he decided to build bigger barns. Instead, be generous. Give some away to those who don't have. Allow them to experience your joy. And maybe, just maybe, they'll ask you where it comes from. I've said several times that joy comes from a relationship with God through Jesus. And what I mean is that in order to have relationship with God, each of us must decide for ourselves to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, that he was buried and God raised him from the dead. Jesus himself said before his crucifixion in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Maybe you're not experiencing joy because you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you've tried to find happiness in some other form. Maybe you've looked for happiness in success or relationships or accumulating stuff only to be disappointed. I want to encourage you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Receive the gift of salvation and begin to experience joy that only comes from him. You can have new life and freedom in Christ today and experiencing lasting joy that comes from God if you will confess your need to be saved, believe in Jesus, and trust God to be the true source of joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you that you loved us so much you sent your Son to pay the penalty that we owed, that our sin debt could be forgiven and we could have relationship with you. And God, I'm thankful that in that relationship with you, we get to experience true joy, joy that is lasting, not a temporary happiness, not a temporary emotion, but a lasting joy. So Father, as we seek you and as we seek that joy, I pray with confidence in knowing that we will find it when we find our security in you, when our confidence is in your love for us, and when our interaction with you is a daily occurrence, a daily habitual experience of walking in step with your Spirit. Give us that joy, Father, and let it spill out into the lives of others around us. In Jesus' name. Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that our time together has been as sweet for you as it has been for me. And if you enjoyed what you heard this morning, I want to encourage you to come back and join us next week for the next message in this series that we're calling Joyful. Whatever platform you're watching on, if you're able, I want to encourage you to click like or subscribe so that you can know when our next message is posted. And we'd love for you to join us here every week. If you'd like to support the ministries of Next Level Church, you can give on our website, nextlevelchurch.org/give, or just go to our homepage, nextlevelchurch.org, and there's a button on the page that you can just press to give electronically there. We are not supported by any outside denomination. We are supported by the gifts of the people of Next Level Church, and so we would certainly appreciate your giving. As we end today, I want to read to you by way of benediction, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, which says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May you, as you go through this week, may you keep in step with the Spirit and experience the joy that comes from God. Thanks so much. God bless.